Well, welcome, Michael, and welcome anyone else watching this video on YouTube or on my blog to the Weird for Good Hangout. This is number 3, and this one's entitled The Smashing Trees. And we are very glad to have you with us, and we're very glad to have Michael Wright again with us this week. And you can check out Michael's blog at fatherofone.com or my own, weirdforgood.com. And this week, we are going to cover my latest post called The Smashing Trees, and I won't go through and read the whole post, and it's a fairly in-depth report at and look at an event that happened last week and how I handled it, and it's pretty raw. So if you haven't read that, you might want to go check it out. And anyway, Michael has read it, and we're going to start out with a question here and get Michael's response. Michael, do you think I get how the world works?
I think a little better than you did a week ago. I think we all get it in bits and pieces, to be honest with you. I think sometimes we have these moments. You had your moment this week, okay? And you got it for a day, and you're carrying it with you. I think you're getting how the world works. But the world is a cruel place, and sometimes we forget. But I think for right now, you do. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, you know, thank you for that response, Michael. I do have to say that since this question came up last week for me, and I would have been terrified to ask you that question a week ago, now I look at it as, oh, cool, that's what Michael thinks. And, you know, I have a better look now at what I really think about that question and how important that question is to me, because sometimes we can get a thought stuck so deeply, or it's been around so long, we keep it like a pet, that a thought can really keep us derailed or out of the game or questioning things. And for me, this was one of those thoughts, you know, do I get how the world works, or do people think I get how the world works? And so when I would get some reaction or some opinion on that, for me, that was a really raw place. And that's what the blog was about really looking at the fact that my thought on that was so negative and raw that whenever I got close to it, then my feelings became negative and raw. And so, Michael, your response today is nice, and I thank you. And at the same time, it's separate now. It's out there. It's something that can pass by. And I don't lock into that like I did before with such insecurity, and I'm hanging on someone else's word. And so that came about through an exercise that was pretty rowdy exercise out in the woods with my coach Megan. So, Michael, for you, can you relate in the way that sometimes there's a thought that you've had that when someone brings it up, or maybe you kind of push it into the dark where the only place it can live, and if someone gets near to that, you know, it would really spike up your energy or possibly anger or anything like that. I mean, is it just me that's had one of those?
No. I think that's common to the human race. We all have these little buttons that can get pushed, and, you know, unfortunately, your family knows them best. For your friends know them best, and I think a good friend will know when it's wise to push those buttons. But yeah, there are things. Yeah, there are definitely things that I can personally say if someone says that, you know, it just, yeah, it sets me off. It lets me see others negatively. I take it in a negative way, and if I ever think I'm being taken advantage of in some way, or especially financially, if someone's trying to do me a raw deal, and I don't know where that even comes from, but I notice I don't get fired up about much, but when But when I remember I was sitting at a mortgage closing, I was refinancing my house, and I know a little bit about, I can operate a calculator, and me and my wife had taken time out of work, had gone, drove to the place for the closing, and found out the guy was was trying to set me up with a payment actually more than we, you know, a house payment that's more than there was our current payment. And I'm like, do you really think I'm that dumb? I mean, and I just got up and left. I said, let's get out of here. I said, and even the lawyer's like, he didn't even understand why this guy even set this thing up. And I don't know what his deal was, but it just made me infuriated. And I started thinking, well, did he do that because does he see me as gullible? Does he see me as, you start trying to internalize it. Am I too nice to people, or am I, you know, so you start to try to think about, you're trying to interpret these things. You know, maybe the guy was just on drugs. I don't know, but but to your point, you have to let those things kind of just, it's just an event that happened. It's not, you know, they may have their motives, they may not, but it's, in the end, it's just an event. It's neither good nor bad. You know, actually it was a learning experience. So you can treat those things. And in your blog, you talked about this conversation you had with this person. It's a learning experience. I mean, really, to me, if someone says something or does something and it ignites something in me, then that's good for me, because it's like, if Iron Man had a weak part in his armor, you know, it's exposing that weak point. So it's really a good thing for you, even though it doesn't feel like it.
So, yeah, that's beautiful. And that's exactly the way, you know, my coach Megan helped me walk through that scenario, which, you know, I did give myself credit and a pat on the back for taking that situation to someone who could really help me, which was outside of my immediate kind of world, and can see in and take it just like you said, and said, okay, this is a gift. This is a thing that says, here's a hot button of mine that I can work on, and it's totally independent of this conversation. It's totally independent of this other person. It's actually just a thing that's for me. And like happened in your situation with the mortgage person, when working through, you know, if you get the flash point and then you look back and you start to internalize and say, okay, does this person think that I'm, to use your words, gullible or something like that? You know, if you had a different relationship with that thought, then you could just laugh at this guy. You know, you can just say, man, this was crazy, because I've got my whole afternoon open now to go and have fun with my wife, because, you know, what you're smoking or whatever you got, whatever you're on is not something that I'm buying today. And so when we have a different relationship with the thought, or even with our own thought processes, which obviously the most tough ones are about ourselves, then, you know, your reaction can be a number of things. And that's what I worked through with Megan when we were releasing this energy around this thought. You know, we worked through it. We went through the thought again until my relationship to that thought really expanded. And then by the end, I'm either choosing to pay attention to it, not choosing to pay attention to it. I'm choosing to think it's funny. I'm choosing to think it's cute how she's like trying to get me, you know, ticked off, when the first time she even barely mentioned it earlier in the conversation, I was ticked off. You know, like that emotion in me was real, and you can read the blog and see how real it got. And I'm just reporting on that. I wasn't making up a story, or exaggerating, you know, how that happened. But changing our relationship to our own thoughts. When I ask you the question, you kind of pop out something exactly on point. You know, it is a learning experience. It is something that can help you grow. So you're obviously a little further down this road than I am. But I think in the moment, it's tough to see that. You know, in the moment, it's tough. And even when we're going to ask someone who is sort of close to the situation and explain our side of things, you know, we're explaining what we see on our screen of our thought and emotional and feeling process. And so they're probably going to agree with us or, you know, say we're right to feel the way we do and that kind of stuff.
Aaron, you just need to be married for 20 years, and then you'll have you'll realize how how many flaws you really have, and then you realize it's just another flaw. It's not really that big of a deal. It's just another one, you know. So I pick my nose. It's just another. No, don't worry about it. I have ear hair. Don't worry about it. Don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, those closest to you. Yeah, my wife is good about she knows me better than anybody, so she's like my coach. So she tells me things that she thinks I need to work on when a certain circumstance comes. She's not afraid to tell me, you know, and I'm glad of that. You know, even if it's not uncomfortable, it is uncomfortable because I don't like confrontations. I don't like dealing with certain things. And she calls me out on it. She's like, look, you really need to, you know, do this, you know. And sometimes I have to tell her, you don't need to do that, you know. so we are each other's coaches. So, so that's how you can, come to terms with your flaws and your character flaws and just be married long enough and have an honest spouse. So that's one way to do it. I'm sure there's a shortcut, maybe, but
I do really appreciate the times that Lindsay and I do share things, and I would say that the relationship with a coach is probably a little different than that, because they can be really one step even removed from the whole situation, and they can, I mean, she wasn't pulling any. Megan, my coach, wasn't pulling any punches during this conversation at all, with me. And you're right. You know, it's like at that point, I did kind of look at it just like you said. Hey, it's just another flaw. If you choose to think I don't get how the world works, well, I guess that's one of, you know, that's your choice, and you can look at that. I got brown hair. I got blue eyes. I got a receding hairline that you can see pretty easily, and maybe you think I don't get how the world works too. You know, that can just be stuff that's there. It doesn't have to create an energy in me that I don't choose to have there, or, you know, I can be more in control of that, how that thought affects me. So, we got a visitor with us.
Yes, this is my little girl.
Yeah.
And what's your name, little girl?
Awesome.
So,
Wells, your little girl is obviously something that it's a big part of your life as fatherofone.com. So we're glad to see her for sure. But
sorry.
I think.
Sorry for that.
Oh no, you're fine. You're good. So I want to talk a little bit about that a strong thought can create a strong feeling, and that this really is a switch overall from an outside-in mindset to an inside-out mindset.
Right.
And that's something that's huge. And I saw in person Michael Neal, who you can check him out online, really gave us a great talk on that and in LA this summer. And you know, I think most of us live on as an outside in person, and unless we have a reason to get this enlightened, you know, perspective, or unless we've gone through something that makes us search for a new way. But really, it seems like the world works from outside in, like, you know, if someone outside of me says something or does something, then that affects what's going on inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Or just waiting around for something to happen. I mean,
yeah, sure, absolutely.
You know, you're just sitting. You know, you're sitting at work. You know, you're waiting for 5 o'clock to happen. Or you're just waiting for, you know, I don't know. You're waiting for those lottery numbers to line up, or you're waiting for your spouse to get on track, or you're waiting for your kids to straighten up. You know, life will be better when something else happens, then life is going to be better. It's just not that's a pathetic might be a good word. It's a sad way to live. It's a terrible way to live, is to wait for something to happen. What if God didn't wait for the earth to be formed? He just did it. I mean, he just created stuff. He wasn't waiting around for someone else to do it. He just did it. And, you know, that's really, you know, my model is that talks about, you know, the Bible talks about God doesn't change, you know. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't change. And so he doesn't let the way we behave, or the way we sin, or even if we're doing wonderfully, he's the same. He doesn't change. And so so that's, you know, that's, yes, ma'am, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, sorry. You're absolutely right. Waiting is a byproduct of the outside-in lifestyle, because something out there is what I'm headed towards, or what I would prefer to have going on. So I'm waiting for it to show up in my life, and it has its own life and it has its own energy, and I'll either chase it down, or I will maybe try to get on track towards that thing that's out there. But I think the people that really have this mastered, and I'm a work in progress here, but it's like you said, it's about creating that thing. It's coming from inside of you. It's not going to be something that you personally go out and get. It's something that you create within yourself, and that's why it comes to you, and it shows up in your life, is because you decided to take it on as a commitment, as, you know, something that you're really passionate about, and really, it really is commitment. And then you create that within, you create that mindset, you create that energy, that work, and that's where it shows up from. It's not going to show up when the lottery numbers align and while we sit around and do nothing. So I think you're right on.
Yeah, I was thinking that comment that started your blog, do I get how the world works? Well, who's asking the question? I mean, the answer is, you create the world that you want. I mean, it's not like there are some, we have natural laws and there are spiritual laws, and, you know, but, I mean, as far as, I mean, get how the world works, I'd have to ask, what is, you know, we all have our world views and how the world works. Some things, you know, always stay the same. If you come out of the heart of giving, I think that's a law. You know, sowing and reaping, you know, that's something that just happens no matter where you're at. So you know, you got to consider the source. What kind of world does whoever's asking you this question, what kind of world do they have? I mean, you know how it works. I mean, you create your own environment. You can create whatever kind of lifestyle or kind of world you want. I mean, you know, and if you're being creative, if you're being giving, if you're serving, if you're loving, those are kind of universal laws. That's kind of how the world works. So, I mean, if you're doing those kind of things, it doesn't, you know, someone may think, well, you've got to, I don't know. You've got to have a certain lifestyle, or you've got to maybe go about your finances this way or your career this way. I'm not sure what motivated the question, but, you know, you're in charge of that, and no one is in charge of you but you, you know. And
yeah, I really appreciate that look at that question, because that I do want to slow that question down in my own mind and not let it run away, you know, like some train of assumptions. Because yeah, slowing it down says, what world do you mean? You know, or like you said, I believe there are some universal laws that you just mentioned, and it seems like our cultural backdrop is that there's some other laws that mean like, or that say something like, you know, it has to be hard to get anywhere, or you can never get ahead, you know, or there's some sort of things that I don't know really stand up to the test, but maybe cultural things that it may look to someone else like I'm, you know, I don't know, maybe to you it doesn't look like I'm really following the cultural norms right now with my lifestyle, and I would say that's absolutely true. And what you just said is also absolutely true, that I've created a world that's different than my old world that I used to have, that I created back then. It was a creation then, it's a creation now. It looks different, intentionally different. And I hope we're all doing that. I hope we're all creating the worlds we want. And if we are going to play the victim role, you know, how long are we going to play it saying the world puts me in a corner and I can't do anything about it? It's like, man, how long does that have to happen before we say I'm tired of it and I want to try to, in small ways, start creating something new in my life? And I can just show you in my own personal life structure that things that look like they have to always be one way do not have to always be one way. So that's just from experience.
Yeah. We just started homeschooling our daughter back in October, and inevitably the first question people will ask, you know, how is she going to be socialized? What about socialization? And I didn't know how to answer that question exactly, so I kept thinking about it, and it's almost like it puts you on defensive, and I wanted to justify why we were doing it, but I didn't need to. It's just the same way. People make comments, but no one was nasty now. Nobody were forced. And I've heard some horror stories where parents would just be needled by even teachers or relatives and say, you know, you're going to destroy that child not having them in school. And so, you know, but the world that we want to create, you know, how we see the world is we're giving her a stable structure, and there are opportunities for socialization, but it's almost like, what kind of the world do you want to create? So you're talking about the world where there's these immense peer pressures in school and cliques and how people look, and you know, if you're overweight or if you're too thin, if you wear glasses, you mean that kind of socialization that makes kids feel terrible about themselves? No thanks, I don't want that world for her. You know, when she gets 16, you know, she's going to be strong enough where she won't have to. She's not worried about, having a Justin Bieber T-shirt because her friends have one, or he'll be an old man by then. But I mean, just like your lifestyle. I don't know, people listening to this, they may know your, you know, what you're about and where you've been. But man, I would, yeah, I mean. You know, if they look at maybe your a debt-free lifestyle, kind of, I don't think you're a minimalist. I wouldn't call you that. But I mean, there are people who, that's very popular these days. There's people saying, I'm tired of having two car payments, a huge house payment, two cell phones, a boat on the lake. It's just stuff. And so you know, if someone's talking about, you know, you don't know how the world works, you know, is that other, depends on what kind of world you want. If you want that stuff and you can pay for it, then go for it. I mean, it's no one supposed to tell you how to live your life. So, I mean, but to say, you know, take that question like, so you think it's better for the world where you're, you know, you're chained to an employer because you have to have a job that you hate, and you have to, you know, you're just a servant to the lender, you know. So, I mean, that question is, I didn't mean to ramble on about that, but just kind of where that question is coming from, again, is kind of important, you know, ask them what kind of world do you live in, you know. You know, when I married my wife, her dad had literally never owned a car, ever. He'd been making car payments for 20 years, but he was a salesman. He needed a nice car and needed to look good in front of the customer, but he never owned a car. He's making 20 years of car payments. I mean, so my wife came into, she's like, that's how the world works. She said, I mean, that's how the world works. You have to have a car payment. And I'm like, no, you don't. You just don't. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You don't. So you got to ask that question. What is that world like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that really testing something like that, really walking slowly into that question is even another level of handling this thing that the blog was based on this week. You know, first off, I had an insecurity that ignited, and I was off into anger land over it. Secondly, I can go in a calmer frame of mind and then really ask that, like you're saying, really dig into that and slowly wade in and say, okay, this thing doesn't even hold water when you actually look at it. You know, what do you mean by the world? And coming from a spiritual, you know, side, Jesus Christ, you know, asks us to not be in this world, but not of this world anyway. And so it's like, do I want to be of this world? Do I want to be more of this world, or do I want to be more of, you know, something that's greater than this world? So, you know,
yeah,
you can.
That just takes it to another level. I mean, if we could really, you know, we're both believers, but we could really see what's going on, probably blow our minds. I mean, there's all kind of stuff going on we can't even see, you know. So that's why Jesus said, you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear, because there's all, you know, we're just getting a little glimpse of how we think the world works, but, you know.
Yeah.
That takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah. So I really appreciate your candidness with me, Michael, and working through this, you know, question in this blog this week. It was pretty heavy subject for me. And you know, I do want to throw out the thing that this whole exercise with Megan brought me to this final point, and I was in such a positive place, and I was really feeling my own strength and my own creativity and my own sort of well-being and self-esteem. And, you know, by the end, I kind of laid out this little outline of, like, what's going on for me. And I invite anybody who's watching this, or, you know, and you, and these are things that are available to everybody that's out there, and they're completely free. And I think these are some things that the wealthiest people in the world wish they had, that I know that I have right now in my life. You know, one is health. That's something you can't buy. It costs a lot of money to be healthy in some cases, and it's just something that has such a huge price tag that we don't want to take that for granted. You know, I do watch my you know, food and exercise and mental health and things like that, and I'm always still working on that. But, you know, it's such a blessing to have health in your life. So many people don't have that right now, and there's prayers out for them. Two is, you know, my spouse. I'm so lucky to have in my life and somebody I can share this journey with, and she supports me, and that's an amazing thing. And it's not always perfect, but I mean, wow, this is a real gift from God. You know, the other thing is a spiritual life. This is something that I didn't have for years, and I can't even express how important this is to have a church family and a spiritual life and belief and faith. And it's like, the wealthiest people in the world that have earned it in the way that you and I would love to earn it, by having a passion about something and chasing that dream and really being determined and committed to something, a lot of them will say that their faith has brought them through, you know, the tough times in that process. So, you know, and then we could go on to saying, I have found something that I'm interested in to do for a career and coaching people and all this kind of stuff. But these are things that are free that are really independent of what job you have or what house you live in or what car you drive. And the biggest one that I have right now, and I hope I'm doing a good job with it, is time. You know, my time schedule is very flexible. It's up to me. I'm not a slave to anybody's else's watch other than my own. And that is something that I know we all have the same amount of every day. You know, we're all given, that's an equal playing field, whether you're Donald Trump or me and Michael or whatever. You know, we all have 24 hours in a day. And
So you're saying is you have some time for clients and phone calls. So anybody that listens to this can call you and email you, right? You got time for that, right?
You know, the truth is I have time if I choose to use it for them. I do. Yes, that's right.
All right.
And so I want to set the bar high for that. I do. It's not like I'm sitting around waiting for a phone call, but you know, if somebody somebody hears this list at the end and says, "Hey, I'd like some of that in my life," you know, that's what a coach can help you with. So anyway, any last thoughts, Michael, before we finish up for today?
No, just keep asking those questions. I mean, yeah, when something stirs you up, just say, "What in the heck caused that? What's going on with that?" You know?
Yeah.
It's kept me out of a lot of trouble. It's kept me out of a lot of finger pointing. It's a finger pointing at the other person, you know, and I have to point it back. Point it back at me. It came from me. It wasn't them. So I just have to deal with it myself, doggone it. I want to blame. It's so easy to blame, but the blame thing just comes back to bite you. It doesn't help you. It doesn't stretch you. It just, I don't know. It's like eating a bowl of ice cream. It feels good for a little bit, but you just got fatter, you know.
Well, and then who's got the power then, too, to solve it, actually? If they've got all the power to hurt me, you know, they are, and I'm the victim. But if I turn it around, like you said, then I've got the power and I can do something about it. And that's where I want to be coming from.
Well, in my example, Ben and Jerry's has the power because I'll eat more of that. So.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate your time again this week. And you know, everybody check out Michael's blog, fatherofone.com. And check out my blog, weirdforgood.com. So. Anyway, we'll see you again next time. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Have a good night. Bye.
All right, man. You too.